Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm looking at what's going on down in Florida. And again, you know, the policies coming out of that place are just crazy. And I keep hoping that out of the insanity we see from the Ron DeSantis's and the Marco Rubio's and the rest of them, the Matt Gaetz's, that some sanity will eventually rise up. And maybe the Florida man will actually be a decent guy who has some thoughts of others. And maybe it's the next generation. And here to share some thoughts on what that could look like, a representative of Gen Z. I've asked Jack Cacciarella. I'm going to get it. Cacciarella to come talk with us. I got it right. He is the digital guy for Retire Marco and Remove Ron. He's also the co-host of Zoomed In podcast. Jack, thanks for taking time for us.
And thank you so much for having me on the show. I am so excited to be here. Really talk Florida and talk, you know, what needs to be fixed in Florida, because there's so much of it. We are the Sunshine State. We have a bright future, but that's not going to be under Republican leadership. So if we can make a couple of changes here and there, it's going to do our state well. And I know that we have a bright future ahead.
No, and I'm hopeful. I mean, I've been following you for a little while, and you know, the hope is that you take a Florida man to the next step, because whenever we hear the man from Florida, it's always something really, really bad. So when I see you trying to grab that, I'm going, maybe we're going to start seeing some things that are really good.
Yeah, I always say that, you know, I'm not like Florida man. I am a man from Florida, though. I'm not maybe the alligator wrestling, running into a Walmart, you know, lighting things on fire. Those type of headlines that you usually see coming out of Florida sometimes that are attributed to that stereotype. But I'm a man from Florida, more focused on how we can better our state. And that's going to come. A lot of that is going to be in 2022. We have huge opportunities to take the next steps in showing how we want our state to be represented, whether that be at the state level in our local elections, whether that be given, you know, Ron DeSantis the boot that he deserves, or whether that be in saying goodbye to spineless Marco Rubio, showing that Floridians actually deserve some real representation, because there's a lot ahead for our state, and we can be extremely successful if we make that pivot now.
And ultimately, it's going to come down to your generation showing up next year. I mean, at the end of the day, we saw a reasonable turnout of the younger generation here in this last election, but the midterms always seem to be a little trickier. And with some of the craziness that we've seen recently, the hope is that your generation, who has some significant problems waiting for them down the road, start saying, maybe we start fixing some of this stuff now.
Yeah, and that's something that we can definitely see, maybe in Florida more so than another state. And something that I always assure everyone of is that elections in Florida are tight. In 2018, the margin of victory for Ron DeSantis was not as huge as you might think it was. About 40,000 votes there. And so if we see the turnout that I expect and my friends expect from Gen Z and other young people in Florida, we're looking at shrinking and then beating that small margin. Because in 2020, we saw the power of our voices. And right now we are seeing that our representatives will respond to us when we demand action. And that action can only be called for if we're showing up to vote and we're showing them why it is important that our voices be heard, because we will deliver for them as well. So I see great promise in how young people are going to be able to turn out in 2022 and just carry that energy also into 2024 and beyond as well, whether that be running for, you know, in local elections or organizing or having our voices heard in every way possible to make sure that what we want is front of mind for people running for office right now.
Yeah, we hear this a lot. You know, we're fighting for what we want, and a lot of people, you've got voices all over the political spectrum. But your generation, you know, what seems to be the issues that are front and foremost for you and your friends?
Yeah, and I think that when most people think of what Gen Z wants and what younger people want, they go directly to climate. And, you know, I think that's the right approach. But I think that we understand the way to be pragmatic in solving our problems. And we know that a stronger economy and a better future for our climate can go hand in hand. And we know that we can solve those issues in the same way. So we are willing to work with the conventional ideas of what policy, you know, maybe the Biden administration wants to be put in place, but bringing our ideas for what a better climate looks like and tying those together. So climate is usually what's going to be front of mind for us, but what we really want to focus on as well is protecting our ability to have our voices heard. So that's passing voting rights legislation as soon as possible to make sure that our elections are protected. Because although the 2020, we just saw this in Arizona, you know, although the 2020 election, the GOP is trying to still relitigate that over and over again, what they're not trying to do is overturn 2020. What they want to do is overturn 2022. So that's where we want to be focused, saying that we see what you're trying to do. We're gonna call the bullshit. We know what's happening. This is in preparation for something else. We're not letting that happen. So we have our eyes not only focused on the future of our climate and of our planet, but the future of our elections, so we can make sure our voices are heard.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about the Republicans is they don't try and hide anything. They're usually pretty right out in front. If they're going to steal something,
they'll tell you.
They'll be happy to tell you. And look, this has been our problem for a long time. Democrats have not organized in the same ways. They haven't pushed in the same ways. And they've been too nice. I've said for too long, Democrats show up to a fight offering to hold somebody's coat and not willing to ball up their digits and roll around in the mud.
Yeah, and that's something that I do my best in trying to be part of that change, saying that we have been too kind in our messaging. We have been too timid in our messaging. We don't really want to necessarily brag about ourselves, but we should. And more so than just doing that, we need to be calling out the hypocrisy and the straight-up lunacy of the GOP. So when Marco Rubio does something that's ridiculous, I'm happy to call him. I'm happy to call him on it. And I'm happy to, you know, maybe poke a little fun at him in the process. I'll throw up an image of Marco next to a jellyfish because it's true. The man is spineless. And I don't care about saying that because it's true. And sometimes when we put these elected officials on pedestals and they want to be treated as kings and queens, it's okay to knock them down a little bit with a little bit of satire. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's not just okay, Jack. It's not just okay. It's mandatory because politicians aren't kings and queens. They're tools to get the things that we need done.
And that's how we need to be viewing these things. These are our representatives. If they're not representing us, then things need to change. They can be defeated if that's what we want. And I think that's a point that we need to make infinitely clear, that these things don't have to be like systemic. We don't have to have this rut in Florida specifically, where we've had, you know, two decades of Republican leadership in Tallahassee. Like, these things can change and we can make our state better.
Yeah. Now, you do this fantastic podcast, you and another person, another co-host, the Zoomed In podcast, and good stuff. I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, to this point, what do you think of the Biden administration, what they've done thus far, any stumbles you see, anything that you would have you've thought wanted differently?
So what I see right now is that there is probably a bit too much of playing into the perceived politics that a Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin would want. I think giving a little bit too much in the hand of saying this is sort of fake bipartisanship a lot of the times is what's happening when Republicans want to act like they're coming to the table, but they're not. Look at the police reform talks that just fell apart with Senator Cory Booker and Tim Scott. You know, Cory Booker was coming to the table. The Democrats were coming to the table. They wanted actual change. Republicans did.
Right.
They have no incentive to do anything. It's clear. It's come down from the top from Mitch McConnell saying that I do not want to help Joe Biden. I would rather see a global economic collapse than Joe Biden have a victory. They have zero incentive to do anything.
Right. And we saw that back during the Obama term where they came out and said, we're going to make him a one-term president. You had Limbaugh, the titular head of the party, saying, I hope he fails. These are scorched earth people. And look at right now,
the current
talk of another government shutdown during a pandemic when the economy's struggling to move along. And they want to throw a wrench into this because they believe in scorched earth. And again, Democrats don't. And that's how they end up getting, you know, put in these positions.
The only time that we've seen Republicans actually try to be a part of the process of governing was with the Biden infrastructure bill, right? 19 Republicans voted yes on that. Marco Rubio was not one of them, of course, because he refuses to do anything or ever show up and do his job. But 19 Republicans voted yes. Now, that wasn't a moment of bipartisanship. That was a moment for some Republicans to be able to point to and say, hey, if you give us the keys, we can govern. But they can't. And they've clearly shown in all other instances that they can't. And so I think we maybe need to spend a little bit less time with, you know, I believe that there can be compromise. I don't think there can be necessarily compromise all that much with this current iteration of the GOP. And I think there needs to be a little bit more focus And I think that's going to be coming in the next couple of days from President Biden and you know, getting into those discussions with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I know they've had meetings where they come to the White House and they talk things out. And I think that can lead to substantial change and actually making something happen. So I think a little bit more presence by the president would be helpful. But with what the administration has currently done, I think they have been successful, and I think they will continue to be successful. But I think they just need to be ready to strong arm a couple of representatives into doing what the country wants, right? If you have a politically popular agenda and you were elected to pass it, then you need to pass it, right? This is what people want. And I think they should be making that infinitely clear with their messaging and how they communicate to other members of the party.
Yeah, but Jack, I mean, there are things that are infinitely popular all the time that never see the light of day because of the moneyed interest in this country, and make sure it never sees the light of day. Most of this Build Back Better plan, overwhelming majorities of the population want, see as something that we need. This is almost a 40-year reset, in my view, of some of the bad policies that got us to this point. But yet you've got someone like Joe Manchin, who I do believe down the road will vote for something. He's just, he wants his attention. And like, you know, like a child who probably wasn't breastfed enough, he needs his attention. Sinema, I don't know. I think there's some other problems there where I think she would be willing to blow up the whole thing.
I know. So obviously she's trying to brand herself in some way, right? She wants a brand as.
Yeah, I don't know if crazy is a good brand.
But I don't know what the brand is. Like, is the brand I am Democratic Mitch McConnell? Like, am I the Democrat Mitch McConnell? Like, I don't know what the brand is. And not only you obviously have loud critics on the left saying, this is like, what are you doing? But you also have the state party in Arizona saying, if you blow up this bill, there will be consequences. Like, that is your state party. Going back to what I said about representing the people who sent you there, that's your party being explicitly clear and saying, this is what we want. Let's go and make it happen. There are 50 Democrats. We can pass this thing. It's tremendously popular. Not only, let's put aside like the political popularity, and let's talk about how successful this will be in making the lives of the working people in America better. Like, let's focus on that.
Yeah.
Let's step aside from this poll says 66% popularity. This poll says 72 or 63%. It'll make people's lives better. Like, let's talk about that, Kyrsten Sinema. It'll make people's lives better. So do you want to step up and do that? Do you want to do what you were sent to do? Like, what is the deal? What is branding yourself as someone who's like potentially going to lose a primary more important than actually helping people? I honestly don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, you know, I look at Manchin, I look at Sinema, and I know that there are others behind them that are causing little fires to be set all around as well. And I don't give them a pass either. But at least I hope that Biden will be able to pull them in. Sinema is the wild card in all this. And is it your view, like I believe, that if we don't get anything, if we don't get the at least something for the Build Back Better plan, and I'm of the mindset you take $1.5 trillion if you can get it, just to get it passed through and put into law. If we don't get either, I think 2022 is going to be a really long year.
I don't necessarily think that if we pass all of this incredible legislation, it means that we're set in golden for 2022.
Nope. No.
There's still a lot of work to be done. We still have to continue to be successful. We still have to pass sweeping voting rights legislation. There's a lot of work to do. But if we don't pass anything, it will be a massive failure. And I don't necessarily see how we recover from that. I just don't.
Because where I wanted to go with this is, obviously, you know, you're more in tune with Generation Z than I am. And I'm really curious of where the mindset is going, because if we don't get voting rights, you know, put into law, if we don't pass something to address what you said is the number one issue, climate change, do you guys just stay home? Do you say, you know, hey, 2020 was the year we were supposed to solve this. We gave you what you needed. You didn't do anything. We're going to go elsewhere.
Well, this goes to a discussion that I think is going to continue to happen, is going to pick up soon, which is, how do we brand the midterms? Do we say this is preventing more crazy GOP, a little bit of what happened in California? Like, this could, Larry Elder could be your governor. You cannot possibly have that. So do you want to talk about more of the nutso crazy Boebert, Cawthorn Greens, or do you want to say, look how successful we've been, right? You got to do both, but which one is more of a winning political strategy? You know, you could potentially say it's look at our successes, But if we don't have any successes, then we can't run on that message. So I'm not sure that it necessarily ensures that young people won't turn out in the numbers that I expect them to, but it doesn't do us any favors. I can guarantee that. And I think progressives may start to get a little tired of giving up what they want for the sake of compromise when they know what they want is not only popular, but will be successful in helping Americans everywhere. I think there's going to be a little bit of we're tired of giving up what we want. And I think that is very damaging for the party.
Yeah, ultimately, the messaging of, well, we didn't get anything done because we didn't have enough votes, I don't know is going to fly this time around. We'll see. I'm hoping. I'm still being told by my sources that we're going to get both bills pushed through eventually. It's not going to be $3.5 trillion, but it's not going to be $1 trillion either. And I'm of the mindset you take what you can get moving, and then you build on into the future. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I think there has been some, I think at least coming from the White House, there's been some optimism that maybe it's not going to be this week, but next week all the cards can fall into place and we can move forward. Maybe there will be a compromise. But the biggest issue here, when we're talking about a compromise, is a compromise on what? Is it a compromise on like the actual substance of the bill, or is it a compromise on the price tag? Because I think that's more what Joe Manchin is worried about, less of where the money's going. And just what the money is. Like, I think he wants just a smaller bill, but doesn't really want to tell us what's in the bill.
Yeah.
Which makes this whole discussion more difficult.
No, I completely agree with you. I completely agree. It's that pretending they care about fiscal responsibility when the reality is we allow the wealth class of this country to walk away with untold fortunes that we don't even consider. Yet we can't get the pothole filled out in front of my house.
Yeah.
Kids can't get an education. It's crazy stuff. But obviously something we're going to continue to talk about in the coming weeks and months. It was great talking with you. I hope you'll come back and share some more thoughts with us in the future.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much for having me on. It's great.
Keep up the great work there on the Zoomed In podcast. I hope folks will take a look at it. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. You can check out Jack Cacciarella and the Zoomed In podcast. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. The talk. Here at The Rick Smith Show, we don't accept corporate advertising. Never have, never will. We don't stop the show every few minutes to sell you supplements, beet juice, or whatever snake oil the right-wing loonies are pawning. That's because we're supported by our friends in labor and by people like you. If you like what we do, become a patron by going to patreon.com/Rick Smith Show. That's patreon.com/Rick Smith Show.